When we are saved, we are not saved by works. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ alone is the one who will give you rest, salvation rest, from your work.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, what's in your message today for us to learn from this portion of Scripture?
Well, today, Dave, as we look at Nehemiah chapter 13, which discusses the Sabbath, we're going to take a detour and I'm going to explain from a myriad of passages what the Sabbath is about. So turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at verses 15 to 22.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And now notice what he says here. To these guys, the some that are doing it, he says, "So I admonished them on the day they sold food." Hey, right in relationship to it, he admonished them. You know, it's always good to admonish someone in the midst of the act. Admonish them when they're actually doing what's wrong, right? This is wrong. This is wrong. Stop it, as we're going to see. And I'm sure he explained, as we'll see in a moment, from the Word of God, how they were not to do so. And we'll even see later on, as he addresses the nobles, that saying, hey, this is why all this came upon us. Why are you doing this? Why would you do this evil? And think about it. If you have been disciplined by God for sin, and you know it, and you've experienced it, and you've turned from that, why would you do it again? It's why all that came upon you before. You want it to happen again? You're building up for it again, right? Because God is a good God who disciplines the ones he loved. So here he admonishes some in Judah. Now that's the area, the southern area, southern kingdom, basically that Judah, the area there now, the southern area of Israel. And that's where Jerusalem is in, okay? So he admonished some in Judah. And we see that because they were working on the Sabbath. And later on, we're going to see the leaders were actually polluting it. They were polluting it. They were profaning the Sabbath. That's very serious. So he admonishes them. And then notice in verse 16, also men of Tyre were living there who imported fish and all kinds of merchandise and sold them to the sons of Judah on the Sabbath. Notice it again, on the Sabbath, even in Jerusalem. This is about the Sabbath, right? Look at verse 19. And it came about just as it grew dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, right? We're going to see and then look at the end there. He shut them until after the Sabbath. The end of the verse, then I stationed some of my servants at the gates that no load should enter on the Sabbath. You should have to do it the Sabbath here. Verse 21, from that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath, right? And I commanded the Levites that they should purify themselves and come as gatekeepers to sanctify the Sabbath day. So this passage is about the Sabbath being broken. It is about the Sabbath being polluted or profaned. And so with that in mind, it would be wise for us to understand the Sabbath in its Old Testament context and in its New Testament understanding. So I want to give just a brief overview here, and I know certainly as I go through this, this can open up more questions for you and certainly go to the Word and look for those answers. I'd certainly be happy to talk to you about it, but I want to give a brief overview of the Sabbath. Now, this term translated Sabbath, Shabbat, it means rest. That's what it means. It means rest. That really, okay, that almost helps me finish the whole thing, right? I can stop there. Well, there's more to it than that. We know in Genesis 2:2, and by the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he Shabbat. He rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Now, certainly the Lord wasn't tired, right? But he rested. The work was complete. There was no more work going on. The idea of rest means you're not working. You're resting, right? The two don't work together. You can't work and rest at the same time, unless you're lazy, by the way, right? You really can't, right? So here, we have this concept of rest. Now, that's certainly in relationship to the Lord. But what about in relationship to man? Well, we know that before sin entered into the world, Adam and Eve enjoyed this rest with the Lord. They were not working in any way, shape, or form for their relationship with the Lord. Okay, and we'll see this in a little bit. They weren't working for it. They were resting, although there was profitable work for them to do, but they were resting in their relationship with the Lord. But then they sinned. And in that day, they did surely die, as God said they would. They were separated from God because of sin. Now, they were restored. We see that later on through faith in the seed of Eve who would come. That's Christ, okay? They believed, okay? But we know that because of sin, there is no rest for the wicked. There's no rest. Because of sin, man is separated from God. And within that separation, man continually, habitually tries to do things to be right with God or to be right with themselves or whatever it is. It's all works, right? It's works. But folks, when we are saved, we are not saved by works. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ alone is the one who will give you rest, salvation rest, from your work. You know, those who were trying so hard in Judaism, you know, were trying to come to the Lord. And Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's through Jesus Christ we have rest. And I read this earlier, but I want to read it again now for the message. I read it for in the service, but let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3, because this really helps us out, because the rest that the Jews were going to have by getting the promised land was a picture of salvation rest in Jesus Christ. And it is obtained by faith, but it can be missed. You can miss that rest. Again, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, and I'm going to read through this. The Spirit of God brings forth the Word of God, the Scriptures, right? Through men inspired by the Spirit. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers... Now remember, I mentioned this earlier, but Hebrews is being written to Jews, okay? It's written to those, and there are believers, but there's a group of Hebrews that are in that group who name the name of the Lord, but they haven't come to faith yet. And they're just about ready to turn away from that. And there are these warnings throughout the book not to do that, but to come to Jesus Christ. Because if you turn away from Christ, there is no other salvation. There is no restoring to repentance. And so here, this is one of those warnings in a sense. So he says there, as they provoked me in the day of trial in the wilderness, verse 9, where your fathers, the Jewish fathers, tried me by testing me. And they saw my works for 40 years at the Red Sea. They saw all the stuff. They had everything. Therefore, I was angry with this generation. I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they do not know my ways. And I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Okay, now certainly on a surface level, that's the promised land. But we're going to see it was much more than that. And the writer of Hebrews explains this. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Now, if you're truly saved, you can't fall away from the Lord. But if you are identifying with Him, which you haven't truly trusted Him, you can fall away. And it's dangerous. And he says here, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have been become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they should not enter His rest, but to those who were disobedient? And so we see that they were not able to enter. What? Because of unbelief. Remember those spies? They didn't believe, right? Yeah, they didn't believe. You've spurned me 10 times. The Lord was done with that, right? And He laid them low in the wilderness. And so here he says, and then Hebrews 4, therefore, let us, now it comes to the New Testament, comes to us now, let us fear lest while promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had the good news of the gospel, the evangelion, the gospel preached to us, just as they also. They heard the good news. They heard the gospel. They heard it, but guess what happened? But the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest. And he says, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. So how can we now in the New Testament enter that rest? Well, we enter it through faith in Jesus Christ, as we'll say. We enter it. And so he says here, for he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day. Now he brings in the seventh day. Kind of interesting. Okay? And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had the good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, as it has been said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If you hear his voice, that's the word of God, by the Spirit of God, convicting you of sin and Jesus Christ. You hear his voice, don't harden your heart. He says here, for if Joshua had given them rest, he's using an example. Hey, the rest we're talking about is not simply the promised land. That is a picture. If Joshua had given them rest, and yes, he did leave the promised land. He sure did. Didn't Joshua? But if that was the rest he's talking about by faith, then something's not right here. Joshua gave them, then he would not have spoken of another day after that. There therefore remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. When you become a child of God, we enter into his rest. Sabbath rest. And we're going to see that on. We enjoy the people say, don't you hold to the Sabbath? It's an everlasting deal. Well, yeah, it was for the old covenant. But hey, I'm celebrating the Sabbath every single day. I am resting in Jesus Christ through faith in him. I have entered into that Sabbath rest. All that points to. And so he says here, there therefore remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest, he himself has also rested from his works. No longer trying to reach God through works, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And so then he says here, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience, which was unbelief. That's what he said earlier. So then we have this picture of the Sabbath salvation rest. But what does it have to do with the Sabbath day? Well, we see a little association there in Hebrews, don't we? We see God rested on the seventh day, right? The Sabbath. That was his Sabbath, in a sense. And so, now in Exodus chapter 16, we see that the Lord fed his people with bread from heaven, manna. And that Moses instructed the Israelites to collect it for 6 days, gathering twice as much on the sixth day. Then they were not to gather on the Sabbath day. They were to rest. It's a picture. They were to trust the Lord, okay? And indeed, if they trusted him and did not work in obedience, God would provide for them. And in the same way in salvation, we trust in Jesus, and he provides salvation. Trust in God through Christ. In Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11, we see the Sabbath, with which, by the way, is our Saturday. It was blessed and set apart. And here we have the fourth commandment of the old covenant between Israel and God. Exodus chapter 20, I'll read this for you. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Again, it's about rest, right? From work, which implies trust in the Lord, okay? You see, and on a side note, the Sabbath is the only one of the Ten Commandments that doesn't have a moral aspect to it. It has an element of God saying you need to rest because I'm telling you to rest because of the picture of his rest, right? And thus salvation rest, as we will see. It is a ceremonial shadow that pointed to something greater that is really important. So the Lord God gave the Sabbath, but not only to remember him, as we'll see, to focus on him and trust in him, but it was also a gracious provision. The Sabbath was for man and not man for the Sabbath. Jesus made that point. But we see this even in Exodus 23. 6 days you are to do all your work, verse 12. You can note these down and look them up later. But on the seventh day you shall cease in labor in order that your ox or donkey may rest. It was a provision even for the animals to rest, okay? And that the son of your female slaves as well, your stranger, may refresh themselves. The Sabbath was for man, and even that animals could be refreshed. The Lord Jesus, when he was reproving the Pharisees, he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Consequently, the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2, verse 27 and 28. So then we have this principle, and we know also that the Sabbath was given as a sign of God's covenant between Israel and him. It was a sign. Now, a sign isn't anything but a sign. When I see a sign out front, it says, church. That's not the church. That is a sign pointing to the church. Signs point to something. They point to something. And here, we see here that every covenant had a sign. The sign of the covenant with Noah, a rainbow. The sign of with Abraham, circumcision. The sign with Israel given to Moses, the Sabbath. Exodus 31, 16. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. And I believe New Testament Jews and Jews in the millennium and Jews forever will celebrate the Sabbath, and we will too in Jesus Christ every day, resting in him, by the way, perpetual, forever. And so here it says, it is a sign between me and the sons of Israel. There you go. Forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed, it says here. And so here we have the rainbow, circumcision, and the Sabbath, all signs pointing to an agreement that God made with man. Different agreements, okay? And so there are many Old Testament pictures also. There are pictures that we need to understand. Bread and manna, right? Sacrifices and lambs, offerings, the temple, high priest, and the Sabbath. And the New Testament reveals what the Old Testament was pointing to. The shadows and symbols pointed to a substance behind that, a substance behind that. Concerning bread, Jesus is the bread who came down from heaven. We're to partake only of him, right? John 6. Concerning the sacrifice, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Concerning the Passover lamb, 1 Corinthians 5, 7, he is our Passover lamb. Jesus Christ is. Burnt offerings and offerings, we see those are offered, the fragrant aroma of Christ to God. We see that. We have the high priest pointed to Jesus, our high priest, right? Hebrews 2, 1 Timothy 2, 5. Well, what about the Sabbath day? What does that point to? Well, I've already revealed this already, but turn with me this time to Colossians chapter 2. Because there were people trying to pull the Colossians away from focusing on Christ. And they were doing it by focusing on the shadows. Now, the shadows are only good if it points you to the reality. You know, think about this. If I've got a picture of my wife, and I'm looking at it, they go, oh, boy, I really love my wife, and I, oh, honey, you're wonderful, and this and that. But she's right next to me. Wait a second. I'm ignoring the reality, looking to the shadow. This points to her, you see? And it is dishonoring to her to look at the shadow and elevate that shadow. That shadow should point me to the reality. And so here, Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food, drink, in respect of festival, new moon, or Sabbath day. Don't let them judge you, tell you, hey, you should be doing this. That's what he's saying, basically. Act as your judge. Why aren't you doing that, right? And now he's going to say, things which are what? A mere shadow. He says Sabbath day is a mere shadow, by the way. He says here, a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. The Sabbath day pointed to the rest we have in Jesus Christ. It is super important. Therefore, the disobedience of the shadow was twofold. One, you dishonor the reality, which is super huge, has to do with salvation. But secondly, there was this idea that God was letting them rest and trust in him. And so if you disobey that, you are showing that you don't trust in the Lord. You see, so it was twofold in that sense. So here, we recognize that this picture was about Sabbath rest in Christ. We saw that again. I can read it again, but I already read it twice today in Hebrews chapter 4. We get our salvation rest in Jesus Christ. It's connected with the 6 days and the Sabbath. It's connected with everything. It's pointing to salvation rest in Jesus. Now, some people can be misled and misunderstand because of zealousness to obey God's word and focus on some of these things, and we need to graciously point them to the reality that's behind that. Now, if they're not willing to, then that means there's maybe a more serious issue that they haven't truly come to faith in Jesus yet and need Jesus Christ, right? Okay, so then we need to recognize that this focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who have believed enter that rest. Hebrews 4, 3. Okay, so a little bit about Sabbath. Now, it's important to notice that back in their time, I want to look at one more passage and turn to this, Exodus 31. Let's turn it together. That in the Old Covenant, it was a serious thing to profane the Sabbath. It was not a good thing. It was a serious thing. Now, the bad guys, the Pharisees and Jews, they elevated the symbol above the Lord. That's the whole deal that's going on in Matthew 11 and 12. Come to me, all you weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And then the next verse, chapter 12, he's walking in the Sabbath and picking stuff to eat in the Sabbath, right? And the Pharisees come in, boom, you know, and he has to correct them, right? Okay. Exodus 31, verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, but as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, you shall surely observe my Sabbath, for this is a sign before me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who set you apart. Hey, you got to rest in Jesus. Then you know he's the one who sets you apart, right? Okay. Therefore, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. This is the Israelites, the Old Covenant Israelites. Everyone who, notice this word, profanes the Sabbath shall be put to death. Oh boy, that's kind of a pretty big consequence. That means this is really important. You see, even the symbols were very important because they pointed to incredible realities and truths concerning salvation in Jesus Christ. And so here, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes the Sabbath shall surely be put to death, and for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among the people. Wow, pretty serious deal, right? And then he goes on to explain about the Sabbath. So, back to Nehemiah. So then, he admonishes those on the day they sold food. End of verse 15. You got some in Judah bringing stuff in. You got stuff going on. You got work going on the Sabbath. So he admonished them. But notice, that's the people. Now notice what he does with the leaders. It's a little different, okay? But first of all, he notices something else going on. Look at verse 16. Also, men of Tyre were living there who imported fish, verse 16, and all kinds of merchandise and sold them to the sons of Judah on the Sabbath. Even in Jerusalem. See, you got these merchants from Tyre, right? But they're merchants from Tyre. And most likely this is speaking of the island city of Tyre that would be destroyed in 332 by Alexander the Great, as prophesied in Ezekiel 26. Now, Tyre was an arrogant, prosperous city of commerce, wealth, and power, okay? It was just off the shore of what we call Lebanon. And it had become a thorn in Israel's side because Israel didn't drive them out. But it wasn't a thorn in terms of attacking them physically. It was a thorn in terms of the attacks of worldliness. It was very worldly, very prosperous worldly. Even so, in Ezekiel chapter 28, the reproof of the king of Tyre morphs into reproof of the spiritual power behind them, Satan.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, how should we respond to what you've taught us in this message?
Well, Dave, what we saw today was that the Jews of Nehemiah's time were working on the Sabbath, thus breaking the Sabbath, which was an evidence of a lack of faith in the Lord manifest in their rebellion. So I ask the question, what about you? Are you seeking money or security, or are you seeking first His kingdom? Well, join us for our next broadcast when we're going to see what Nehemiah does concerning their lack of faith.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.